And tonight's subject is entitled this, How to Get Along with Those You Dislike in the Church. This is one of the hardest disciplines to practice. I don't know about you, but I got prayer down. I know how to study my Bible. I can win a soul to Christ. I got tithing and giving offerings down, and a lot of that stuff comes really, really easy to me. But getting along with someone I dislike has been something that has just been a struggle in my Christian life, and yet it is expected of our Lord, as we'll see by the end of the message. I write these flyers because things come up usually. Often I'll see patterns after a while, and I think this one's about, 20 years old maybe. I'm not sure when I wrote this, 15 years old, I don't know. It was a long time ago when I began to see patterns of people quitting the church over personality clashes. That was their reason. Personality clash. I don't like him. I don't like her. I don't want to go to a church where he's there. I don't want to go to a church where she's there. And they thought that having a personality clash with somebody justified them disobeying the commandment here in Hebrews 10, verse 25. Let's look at that here. Hebrews chapter 10, it says in verse number 24 that we are supposed to provoke one another to love and to good works. It says, let us consider one another and to provoke unto love. Remember that word love. We're going to get into that later. And to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But much more so, and so much more rather, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And it sure looks like the day is approaching. It's looked like that for the last 2,000 years. And it just seems more so now than ever. It's talking about the day of the Lord, which begins with the rapture of the church when Jesus comes to the clouds for those that are saved. And it says, as you see the day approaching, it says we ought to assemble ourselves together so much the more. Assembling ourselves together in the church is a commandment. And yet I've met so many people because of personality clashes in the church just left. And when we stress church attendance, because when you leave the church, you usually quit all involvement in it. Your ministry, your giving, and so on. I don't know anybody who still sends money to the church that's quit. And so we encourage church attendance and we encourage involvement and participation and so on and so forth because we believe it's right. We believe it's based on the scriptures. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it, Ephesians 5:25. He purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. You're familiar with those verses. Yet many do not go to church today because of some kind of a personality clash they had had with somebody. Now, in those cases, usually there are, both people are at fault. The person who left the church and the other person who showed a bad spirit towards them or a contentious spirit with them or whatever. And I believe both need to get right with the Lord. We shouldn't just criticize the person who leaves the church and says, well, they weren't right with God. Maybe we drove them out. Maybe something needs to change about us, our personality, our demeanor, and so on and so forth. And God is in the life-changing business. But I'm sure there was a personality clash. If you look at the book of 3 John very quickly with me, I'm sure there was a personality clash in this church. It says in verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Verse 6 says about Gaius, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Isn't that great? Wouldn't it be nice if every single member, the whole church could bear witness of their charity, their love, and how he was a fellow helper of the truth, to the truth in verse 8. But look at verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So the one guy, his charity is borne witness before the church. The other guy in the same church loves himself so much, he thinks it's all about him, he's casting people out of the church. And then you got Demetrius, verse 12, hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Do you see how with these three different men here, there's at least a potential setup for personality clashes? You know, I believe today that all around this region here, there are more people who are out of church than who are faithfully in church and church attendance. And if you could dig into the reasons, they'd have different reasons, but one of the primary reasons you had heard of is, well, they had a personality clash with the pastor, they had a personality clash with the, you know, this member or that member, this girl, this lady, this gentleman, or I used to go to church with this boy, we were dating and we broke up and it got really ugly and now neither him nor I go to church anywhere. I was talking to somebody in our church a couple months ago about a person that they knew, and I said, you know, I've tried to minister to this person quite a bit, and they don't come to church anymore. Oh, they're not coming. This person's not coming back to this church ever again, Pastor. Why? Well, because of one thing you said in a sermon. And I said, without divulging what it is to me, could you tell me was what I was saying biblical? He said, well, yeah, what you're saying is right from the scriptures. Don't ever change. But they didn't like me. Didn't like me. Let's see. I don't know about you, but I don't plan on quitting the church for the rest of my life. I believe it is God's will that every single believer in Jesus Christ who's right with God will be an active participant in a local church somewhere for the rest of their life as long as they are physically able to attend and be involved. I believe that's God's will. And as we see in 3 John, there's obviously some people that are going to cause you to have some personality clashes with them, or there's going to be people in the church you do not like and that I do not like. And as I saw years and years ago, so many people who use that as an excuse and really are persuaded in their souls, God's satisfied with that. I quit the church because I don't like so-and-so, and God's happy with that, and they justify the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. They can justify anything. But it's not. I don't care how bad the church is. I've studied the churches. There's 13 different churches in the New Testament, and their personalities are laid out for us like the church of Corinth. I've never seen a church such a mess in my life. I mean, as bad as our churches are today, we're nowhere near as bad as the church at Corinth was. Filled with fornicators, women preachers, women shaving their heads, men walking around with long hair, men being effeminate. That's what the Bible says about them. Taking each other to court and suing each other. All kinds of things wrong with that church. And I've scoured 1 Corinthians, I've scoured 2 Corinthians. Not once does God by the Holy Spirit tell anybody, why don't you just quit going there? No, but rather the message of the Bible has always been, okay, here's where your church is messed up, now get in there and fix it. Fix it and make it better. The Galatians, there's not a thing said good about any of those churches in that whole region. That whole region's about the size of Georgia. The church at Galatian was so messed up in their doctrine. The church of Laodicea. As you go through the seven churches, you hear this saying several times here, listen to this. The Lord said to the church at Ephesus, Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Revelation 2:14 to Pergamos, because I have a few things against thee. Revelation 3:20 to Thyatira, I have a few things against thee. The Lord wasn't happy with these churches, but he spelled out what was wrong with them, and he told them to get it right, and never did Christ or Paul or Peter or any New Testament writer say, why don't you just quit the church? They're all so bad today. Until I decided I'd write something that I could get into some people's hands, and I've sent them out to people, but they never accomplished anything, on how to get along with those you dislike. That has to be something we're educated on and something we practice, because invariably, if a church is smaller, church starts to grow, there's going to be people in the church that you just do not like. You dislike them. And yet our Lord tells us, as much as lieth in you, to live peaceably with all men. And we need to figure out if there's going to be people in the church, and I'm sure Gaius, who is such a wonderful Christian in 3 John, I'm sure he did not like what Diotrephes was doing. Diotrephes was very destructive to his local church. There were people leaving his local church because of Diotrephes. And I'm sure that broke Gaius's heart. I'm sure it broke his heart when he'd see these new people come in, and all of a sudden Diotrephes would get into him and get after him, because Diotrephes had this preeminent love about himself and thought he was the boss and thought the church should run by him, and he was just sharp and unkind. And Gaius saw people after people after people after people after people leave that church because of Diotrephes. You know, David never did get along with his 3 cousins. Joab and Asahel and Abishai. He said about his cousins, you guys are just too hard for me. You're just too hard for me. But he never kicked them out. He kept them in his kingdom. He used them. He gave them positions and so on. And eventually God dealt with them. There's just a couple things here. I've already given you the first. These are introductory. Number one, first, we are to be in church all of our lives. Number one, we're to be in church all of our lives, okay? Number two, here's something else that helped me. There are things about me that God really doesn't like. There are things about me that God hates. But how does God get along with me? By love. See, loving others trumps liking others. Trumps liking others. And you need to understand tonight, and I do too, that there are things that God the Father does not like about every one of us in this room. And yet he loves us and maintains a relationship with us. There are things God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not like about every one of us in this room. But his love trumps like. I am sure there were things that the Lord Jesus Christ did not like about those men that he chose himself to be with him. And he corrected those things in a spirit of great love to make those men better. I'm sure he didn't like James and John being Boanerges, the sons of thunder, wanting to destroy the Samaritans. He didn't like that. He didn't like the behavior of the publicans and the sinners that he sat down and he ate with them. But his love trumped liking. And he wanted to reach them. And the harlots of his day, he didn't like what they were doing at all. He knew what they were doing was going to nail him to a cross someday. But he loved them. He didn't like it when James and John wanted to elevate themselves and sit on the right hand of the Father and the left hand of the Father in heaven and be place seekers. He didn't like that. He didn't like when Peter tried stopping him from doing God's will and going to the cross. He rebuked him. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God." I'm sure he didn't like Matthew and Zacchaeus as publicans and all the people they ripped off. But he loved them and reached them. They became new creatures in Christ Jesus. I'm sure he didn't like Thomas saying, "I don't care what any of you say. Until I see the prints of the nails in his hands and in his feet, I'm not going to believe." Later, he upbraided them for the hardness of their hearts. But he loved Thomas. Next time he saw Thomas, he said, "Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." I'm sure there's things about me the Holy Spirit does not like. But he loves me, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. You and I have got to understand tonight that every one of us in this room, without exception, not only have things about us that God does not like, but we have things about us that God hates. And yet he maintains a relationship with us because of love. That's the key word right there. And that's where I need the help and you need the help. So there are things about me that God really doesn't like. And then third of all, it's possible then to love those you don't like. It's possible to love people you don't like. That's biblical. God does it all the time. There's things about people he doesn't like, and he loves them all the time. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we have all these New Testament churches, all this history laid out for us of churches with messed up doctrine, messed up practice, messed up morals, and messed up people. And yet we're to love them. And that's the key. That one four-letter word, key, answers the whole thing. You don't even need this flyer. But when it says how to get along with those you dislike in the church, the answer is love. The love of God, having the love of God for them. You know, it is possible. I've done it. It's been hard, but I've done it, to go down to the prison and minister to men that I knew were perverts, pedophiles, murderers, and you love them enough to try to lead them to Christ, to call them a brother in the Lord. And we certainly dislike the things that they do. Turn to John 13, verse 1. Again, I'm sure the Christ disciples, he had like 82 men around him that we know of. I'm sure all of them had things about their personalities, maybe characteristic traits that Christ didn't like. But it says this in John 13, 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And you'd be amazed how love, and I'm preaching to myself here too, how the love of God can help us get along with people that we dislike, or sometimes a particular characteristic they have that we dislike. And so it's you know, don't break your arm patting yourself on the back if you'll just love those that you really like. We've got to get to where we can love those that we dislike. As God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has set an example for us. And so that's where this was birthed to help me. And I can't say I've always lived by this, but also to help you. Because you're supposed to stay in church the rest of your life. The rest of your life. I don't like the preaching, so people quit. I don't like the music, people quit. I don't like so-and-so, he offended me. People quit. They really think they're justified. Boy, is Satan pulling one over on them. They really think they're justified to stay home for 20 years because somebody offended me 20 years ago. I don't think I should have to put up with that. Man, I just read Trail of Blood on my vacation. Everybody ought to read that book. You and I are not putting up with anything today. If the worst we have is our feelings hurt in church, we've had it pretty easy compared to other believers down through the ages. And so how do you, here's some things. Let's go inside. First, realize, number one, it's not worth losing everything God has good for you just for the cheap pleasure of disliking someone. And it is a cheap pleasure. It's not worth it. It's not worth losing everything, or at least some of your reward. For John again warned us, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which are wrought, but that you receive a full reward. And then Jesus goes on to say, look, if you do not forgive people from their hearts, and the end of Matthew 18, verse 35 says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother. their trespasses. Now, does that sound like these people staying home from church? Do they sound to you like people who have forgiven from their hearts their brother? I don't think so. It doesn't sound like it to me. God is expecting us to forgive people from our hearts, our brothers. Without love, everything we are doing for God is counted as nothing. I teach on that so often. I'll just be brief here, but that's what the Bible says. Everything we do needs to be because we love the brethren. We love God. Number three, you'll never do anything greater than love. And no matter what your position in church, even if you're one of the pillars of the church, love is greater. And we must love those we dislike. Number four, if you only love those who love you, you have no reward. Jesus said so in Matthew 5 and verse 46. You have no reward. What's the big deal if you just love those that love you or if you just like those that like you? Here's a profound statement, number five. Love is a commandment of God. Love is not a choice, not an option, not a suggestion. Love is not a feeling, it is a force. It is a force that each one of us is to practice in our lives. And I just don't feel like... People back out of marriages because of that excuse. And I just don't feel, we just don't feel like we're in love anymore. It's not a feeling, it's a force. It's divine, it's supernatural. It's something that trumps everything else. Love. Number six, love never fails, endures all things, and is patient. Notice that. It talks about charity, of course. That's the Bible word, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4, 7, and 8. It says, charity endureth all things. Would that include personality clashes? When it says charity endureth all things, would that include personality clashes? Or maybe there's an asterisk in the Bible. And then at the bottom it says except for personality clashes. No, I've never seen an asterisk in the Bible. It endures all things, even people in church that are difficult to like. And if a church is trying to reach out and win souls and get new converts into the church and without any respect of persons, without regard for whether they're rich or poor or red, yellow, black, white, what their skin color is or anything, if it doesn't matter, if the church is trying to reach everybody God wants them to reach, there's going to be some undesirable people to our nature, some unlikable people to our nature that are going to be coming into the church all the time. You know, I think God keeps his eye on us at times like that more than them. To see, let's see how he'll respond. Let's see how she'll respond to the new person that comes in. And let's see really how advanced they are in love. You know, when some kid comes in, puts his whole hand through the drywall or something, or wrecks up the new paint job, or disrupts the service, or something like that. People are going to be coming in. Man, when Jesus preached, it seems everywhere he preached, some demon-possessed person tried breaking up the service. You ever notice that in the Bible? It just seemed like every time he was speaking, some demon-possessed nut tried to distract everything. Love endures all things. Love is part of a package deal called the fruit of the Spirit. If you are saved, God's Holy Ghost lives in you, and he will give you perfect love. If you will ask and grow spiritually, and that love will help us and become a stronger force than like. Love needs to become a stronger force in us than liking people. Well, I don't stay for fellowship. Why? I don't like those people. Well, I do stay for fellowship. Why? Because I love those people. Love needs to be a more powerful force in every one of us than like. And we'll get to reasons why. It's very important why this is important tonight. Now, God is the author of peace, number eight, as in all churches of the saints. God authors peace. We are to try as much as lieth in us, Romans 12:18, to live peaceably with all men. If peace is absent, we have failed in some way to let God work, because He is the author of peace. I hope this is more preventative tonight, but I wonder if we went out with a clipboard to all the people that used to come here and don't come anymore and say, "Why'd you leave?" I wonder if how many times it would be some personality clash with somebody who, while they were here, treated them in an unchristian way or with an unchristian word. And all it takes is one or two words or an unchristian look. Sin is universal. Here's an old statement. I used to say this a lot. Don't be surprised when sinners sin. And don't be surprised when people sin against you. All are sinners, and sinners sin. Every person is a sinner, and sinners sin and hurts. A lot of times those are directed towards us. We've got to realize these things, and then we've got to take action, and we'll close with this. Just quickly, I'll go through these things here. If you have treated that person in an unchristian way, ask God's forgiveness. Just say, "Lord, that person that left the church, or Lord, I treated them in an unchristian way. Would you please forgive me?" Number two, this has helped me, is to dislike the characteristic of the person, not the person. Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. He learned somehow to be a friend of people who had characteristics in them that I'm sure he disliked. He disliked dishonesty. Wouldn't you agree with me? That's what publicans were. They were a bunch of I didn't say Republicans. I said publicans. They're a bunch of dishonest crooks and sinners. I'm sure he disliked what they did, but he somehow, because of his love, was able to be their friends. Friend of publicans and sinners. We need to dislike the characteristic of the person, not the person. You know, just an example from my own life, and you can try to process this and you figure out what it is that rubs you the wrong way, but I have a problem with lazy people. It's just a characteristic in people that I just dislike. I dislike laziness and slothfulness. I just look at it as a waste of potential. It's not how I was brought up. I just happened to have laid out for me. I was very advantaged. I didn't think of it at the time, but I was advantaged to have laid out for me a life of farming and sports and the military. And those things taught me character and discipline and taught me to be industrious and self-motivated. And that was just the character that was formed in me just by chance. That's how it was. We didn't have a TV, didn't grow up in this generation. I don't know what I'd be if I grew up in this generation. But I have a problem with lazy people. But love can help me to be their friends. Because sometimes lazy people get over those characteristics. We'll get to that in a second. Or whatever the bad characteristic is, I've had to get over many flaws in my character, and I'm still working on some. As I said earlier, there are things about me God not only dislikes, He hates. I'm trying to be honest before God and let Him change me. But you need to dislike the characteristic of the person and not the person. Another characteristic I can't stand in people is people who are takers. There's givers and there's takers. Man, it just rubs me the wrong way when somebody just takes and 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 never gives. And I personally have a hard time liking them, but love trumps like. And I have to love those people. I'm sure there's things about me that some of you don't like and wish, boy, I just wish that guy would change. Well, here's number three. Pray fervently for that person. This is where it gets exciting to me, these next 2 points. These next 2 points has been exciting to me because I've seen it change me, and I've seen it change other people. When you pray about the flaws in a person specifically, and God begins to change that person and their flaws. God can change people. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray fervently for that person. When you see a person, you say, "Lord, I love this person. I have a hard time liking this characteristic in them. Lord, because I believe biblically that is wrong, and Lord, I pray you change them about that. It's amazing. It is amazing how many times I have seen that character flaw disappear and something has come in its place that has strengthened that person. Believe, number four, the power of prayer can change character flaws. James and John changed. John became known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was once the son, one of the sons of thunder, Boanerges. He was once the man who had the bad spirit and wanted to call fire down from heaven to destroy the Samaritans, to the disciple whom Jesus loved. And then he lived after that another 60 years, if we got our chronology right. Christ went off into heaven about 30 A.D. John was still living around 95 or 100 A.D. Figure that out. And in a couple years, through the power of Jesus Christ, John's character flaw changed. And where he was destructive and self-serving and self-exalting, he became the disciple whom Jesus loved. He wrote all these things about love in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And as I've pointed out before, God can change adult men. And God can change adult men quickly. And God can keep them changed for the rest of their life so they're like Christ. And so pray. If you see something in me you don't like, and you can put your finger on something in the Bible and say, Lord, that's not right about Pastor. You pray for me that God will change me, and he'll change me. And you pray for each other. You pray for your mate. And boy, I'll tell you what, your marriage will get better. You pray for your kids. Your kids will get better. It's amazing the power of prayer to change people. Don't limit prayer to just something we use when we need money or we find out we got cancer and need healing. No, pray for the character flaws in other people. Here's something else, too. Number five, say good things about that person. Let your speech be always with grace. Look for good in every person. There is good in every person, and God's going to find it someday at the judgment. It says, then shall every man have praise of God. If God can praise everybody for something, we should be looking for things in them. On the back, humble yourselves of all envy, pride, and jealousy. Those things only trigger contentions. Number seven, have a servant's heart. Life is not about us, but it's about God and others. Matthew 23:11. The greatest shall be servant. Help to bear that person's burdens. That person might be under some pressure, maybe even greater than yours. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Look at where they came from. They may have come from a home where they were not taught any character or any discipline. They may not have had a father. They may not have had a mother. They may not have had a Christian home. You know, sometimes it's amazing any of these people come to church at all. With the little encouragement they ever had growing up. So try to understand. Try to bear the person's burdens and try to understand where that person's coming from. You know, a lot of the lazy people just, you know, maybe they had a doting mother or something, did everything for them. That's not their fault. They got to overcome that and start doing for themselves, but sometimes you can think about somebody for a while and you say, boy, now I understand now why that person's like that, and I didn't know that before, Lord. I mean, we're all a product of our influences, aren't we? We're all a product of our pasts. We don't have to be prisoners of our past, but we're products of our past. We're products of the people we've crossed paths with. Some of you had Christian homes. You ought to thank the Lord for it every day. Some of you lived among sin. We got people coming to our church now. They go home, they have kids and stuff, and the parents are watching pornography on the television. And I'm serious. You grew up with Andy Griffith. That's not what they're growing up with these days. Your part to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Every time we go to the house of the Lord, we need to say, God wants peace in the body of Christ, and I've got to do my part. Do not respond to the person the same way they respond to you. That's the golden rule, number 10. And number 11, determine God will get the victory in this relationship. The Lord prayed that they may be one. He wasn't talking about ecumenicalism in John 17:11. He was talking about oneness of mind and spirit and doctrine in the local New Testament church that we're supposed to belong to for the rest of our lives. Now, one of the reasons we're informing you of this is not only to review the material for yourself, but so also if you know somebody who's been affected by this, to get them the flyer and the message, let them listen to it. Maybe they'll come back to church and say, you know what? The church isn't perfect. It's never going to be perfect. And I'm probably always going to have a personality clash with somebody there. But my Lord is worth more than me stumbling over some dinky, puny little human being. And I'm not going to let anyone stop me from assembling in the house of God and being right with God and obeying the commandments of God. In fact, I'm going to go beyond that, and I'm going to find out a way that I can love this person and pray for this person and see if maybe God would give me the privilege of being the one. My prayers and influence can change that person to become more like Christ. So let's pray for some people. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and maybe we're going to have the piano start to play a song of invitation. Maybe you want to come tonight and just pray for somebody. You just have thine own way would be good, I think. You just are struggling with. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us, Lord. This flyer, it was easier for me to teach this tonight, Lord, than to do it. Oh, God, you know my nature is just to avoid people I don't like. You know my nature is just to hope maybe they don't come back. It's too uncomfortable. Lord, that's not right. It's not right to be irritated easily and agitated easily with other people because of their some idiosyncrasy or character flaw that they have. Lord, you want us to love them because you want to produce Christ in them, and you want us to be one of the tools that you pick up to use on them to make them more Christ-like by showing them love, by giving them instruction. Father, help us the rest of our lives to realize that disliking people is not an excuse. Having a personality clash with somebody is not an excuse for not being involved. And Lord, for those that have fallen away because of this and are sitting at home thinking that they're justified in your eyes, Lord, convict them about their need to be back into the fellowship of the saints. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and pianos begin to play a song of invitation. If you need to come.